You're listening to
the Music Interval Theory Podcast with TC and Frank.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Music Interval Theory Podcast. My name is still Frank, and today I'm excited to share another segment from a live open discussion we recently had on our virtual campus. By the way, if you are not familiar with how the campus works, here's a short introduction. The campus is our virtual space for all sorts of live events like open discussions, music feedback sessions, presentations, and casual hangouts with fellow members. And here's even the best part. You can attend all these happenings and sessions free of charge. We do these in public, and everybody is welcome to contribute. I'll include a link to the campus below in the show notes. If you want to stay informed about what's happening there, please join our email list and never miss a cool event. Speaking about fantastic events, that's a great transition to today's topic, the ethics of using AI in music. Before I roll the clip, many thanks to all the participants who joined the discussion and for granting me permission to use it on the podcast. So, without any further ado, let's roll.
Definitely, it's the Wild West right now with AI. And that is also a conversation that I had with Mark actually an hour ago before we started this session here. And he said, well, what if we had an AI model only be trained with our works, our own works, and we only have access to this. So there would be nobody else who can access this model. What do you think about that? And honestly, I think this might be a solution that would work if you have a big catalog of pieces that show the style and the taste that you like, which means to some degree, you probably repeat yourself with the way you orchestrate, with the way you have chord changes or form, whatever it is. And I think this just speaks for the voice of a specific composer. So it's not a bad thing. And if you had AI to do something similar for you, and you are the only person who has access to it, I'm actually not seeing this necessarily as a bad thing. But there is no platform available that offers this infrastructure because everybody wants to be in control over the model. So they just want to have the best training data to train their own model that the company owns, and then they want to make a lot of money off that thing. That is always the idea, and usually it's not the music creator who runs this company. But if we, as the artists, had our own specifically trained models based on our works that only we can access, I'm actually not seeing this as a big problem, but really maybe as a good step forward, especially also as a business model. Obviously, there are some other questions like, where does my training data go to? Which servers? You know, who else can access these servers and such things? So it's not really like, well, trust us, upload here, just click the button and then you will be fine. We take care of the rest. I'm not quite sure if that would be a very trustworthy way of collecting the data. But still, let's pretend for a second you can run this thing locally on your machine. No servers involved, no nothing, just your own computer, your own training data, all stored locally at your own place. What do you think actually of such a model?
The little bit that I've experimented with AI, Output Music came up with something, and it's just, you know, it's very limited. But I'm never going to be okay with that because you're still married to their sounds and you don't have any notation or MIDI. You have to process the hell out of it to turn it into something. I would feel like that tool could really exist and could be really helpful, but I would want it to give me MIDI versions of it, at least, as well as stems, because I'm not going to trust somebody else's sounds. And adjacent to that, I want to point out, I don't have anywhere near the catalog of most of the rest of you people. I came back to music after decades of doing other things in my life. So I don't have that, but I have taken finished works of my own that have live instrumentation and fed the stems through things like Iris, which really smears the hell out of the sound and processes it. And then you can really play with it. And that's like a hint in this direction. But like, I feel like I'm much more comfortable having control over that than I am with, like, what does the AI give me that I can then massage is the critical question to me.
Just imagine you get the perfect track back from AI, and then the client sends you a feedback email and says, well, this is brilliant. It's all approved, but please take the trumpet out.
Exactly.
And then you can't do it because you don't have access to, you know, maybe just the brass section as a stem. But then you will never be able to remove just a trumpet. And with Sibelius or whatever notation program, this would be an easy step. 3 mouse clicks and it's all done.
But yeah. I think it's only a matter of time when the AI starts producing scores. So you will be at some point you will have control over the notes themselves.
It doesn't work that way. The problem is that until you give audio to train to do that, you have to create a completely new model that took music XML file or MIDI file and generate MIDI file or XML file.
And I would point out, to sort of support what Claudio is saying, I think that all of these are market driven. So if there's like 10 classical composers saying, hey, I love the fact that Beethoven's Fifth Symphony and his Egmont Overture have exactly the same sound and are often recorded together, so I want to do the same thing with my own material. If there are 10 of us, there are 10,000 or 100,000 people that are saying, I want quick access to feed my stuff in and just get a finished piece that I can then throw a little reverb on and sell to a client. Sean, I really wish I could do that. I wouldn't mind feeding a bunch of my scores in and saying, hey, I'm, you know, remix some stuff, take these, give me something that sounds like me just on two pianos and then I'll orchestrate it. Or give me something that sounds like
me. You already have, I forgot the name. There is a platform that generates music. You have the option to upload any MIDI and it will analyze your MIDI and will generate music based on what you uploaded.
What I've ever seen gives you stems, doesn't give you MIDI files. And so there'd be a lot more analysis and checking to even figure out that those stems match the MIDI that you're able to create.
There is something that is important to understand, because there was no good training material. A training material is a material that contains annotation that says in human words what this material is about. And that came out a few years ago, not too much years ago, when there was released a huge picture database in where each picture told exactly what there was inside this picture. And in that way, a model could be trained. Because to train a model, you need a set of data of which you know everything. The problem is that while there are platforms like SoundCloud where people listen music and can tell, oh, I like this piece, that information can be collected to create training material. For score is much difficult because there is not much people that use a score or that annotate the score, say, oh, that is a good transition. That is what defined the style of Schubert. Without that information, it's really difficult.
Give it 100 years and see what's up. 200 years, give it 300 years. I mean, it's just a matter of time. Imagine in 100 years, you will have even crazier stuff.
Yes, but for text and also for sound, AI used in sound, is because there are platforms like, if you want, Facebook for the text.
Yeah, but you have IMSPL, for example, for scores. You have tens of thousands of scores there.
Yes, but there are no annotation that tell what...
Yeah, but give it 100 years. Somebody will start doing that. People love to do stuff. Maybe a crazy community on the internet will pop up out of somewhere and people will start collecting data for training. You never know. I mean, nothing that you said is impossible to do. Just give it enough time.
Of course, the machines will be in control of the entire Earth by then. So,
I don't know.
Maybe will be not more interested in score.
Going back to Frank's comment, I still feel that if you used it even on your music, it would become formulaic.
When you open your Kindle, it feeds you an ad for a book that they think you're going to love. And for a few days last week, I was getting the same ad over and over. It was clearly it was hilarious. The cover was, every word was misspelled. It was supposed to be a picture of a Viking with a sword in his hand. And like the image had, you know, the six fingers and the helmet on set. Like everything was wrong with it. I was tempted to buy it because I suspect that people are pumping out actual novels and then uploading them, maybe doing a spell check, but they didn't do it on their cover. It cracked me up and I felt suddenly a bit of relief at the idea that AI was going to steal musicians' jobs anytime soon, because, man, they can do a lot with text, but holding together even an image that the words are spelled the way that they're fed into them, all that stuff, it just seems, I'm a little less threatened by it. And weapons of war are actually being controlled, are now autonomous. Some of them are. That worries me. This doesn't. But, you know, we all have our own threshold for concern or whatever.
Yeah, but I think AI can never replace musicians.
I agree. It
can generate and it will get better and it will be more powerful and it can do all kinds of crazy stuff. But at the end of the day, it can never replace a human. People love to work with other people. And for example, live music will be always played by people. I don't know, maybe some Terminators at some point will start playing bass or whatever, I don't know. I guess it's possible, but still, human, it's alive. This is not alive. No matter how it's good, it's always artificial.
Like I said, it's all a matter of what society is willing to accept.
That's a different question. Acceptance is a different question. What I'm trying to say is it can never replace. It's just something else. It's two different things. You can have a robot's live performance of Beethoven or something like that. It's entirely possible, but it's not the same thing. It's a different thing.
There are many definitions of human, and depending on which definition you agree, maybe AI can reach that level. The problem is always that thing. People is losing the good usage of the language, of the Italian language. People doesn't know how to speak correctly, how to say the conjunctive or correctly or something like that.
That is true in German as well.
And if these things will be used to train AI, oh shit.
We are all doomed, I'm telling you. But yeah, I think these are fantastic topics. We will most likely continue talking about that. Staying open-minded is key, but you have to have an opinion as well. When it comes to using existing stuff for training AI models, everybody has to think about that carefully if they want to be a part of that. I will definitely not be an active part of AI development when it comes to music. It's not this shortcut that everybody was hoping for, I think. That is not how we should treat it.
Each time you buy something on Amazon or on any other shop, and after a day they ask you how it worked, was your buying experience good, bad? That is AI training. And that is how they steal training data in a way that you don't know.
The same is true for these capture things, where you get to see like 12 pictures and then it reads proof that you are human and you have to click on all the pictures that have a bicycle or something like that. This is also training data. Anonymously, I understand. But still, it is data they collect. Like, well, most people respond to that picture showing a bicycle, which is also, I don't know, a weird taste in my mouth when I think about that, how many clicks and how many data points they collect daily with captures.
And sometimes you can't even tell which and what picture has the bike in it.
I definitely value these sessions and we will continue offering them. Please continue taking them. This is, I think, the most healthy way to keep the community up and running and also to share good insights and how we can all move forward in the most efficient way.
This podcast is powered by the Music Interval Theory Academy, your resource for getting clarity and confidence in music composition and orchestration. See you inside at musicintervaltheory.academy.